So go ahead. So let's go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9. So this is Joshua judges Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. If we can go ahead to get the PowerPoint on, we're not quite there yet. But as you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9, one of the tools that we use in Bible reading is called the Who Am I tool. And what that means is if you see a group picture that was taken at a family reunion, for example, or some sort of gathering, where do your eyes naturally go? To yourself. That's right. We always look at a group picture and we go, oh, where am I? Oh, there I am. It kind of shows the pride and the conceit that we have in our own hearts. Well, that's oftentimes how we read the Bible. We don't look at ourselves in the scriptures as the bad person or the poor person or the person in need in the story. We often read into the story that we are the hero of the story. For example, the story of David and Goliath. Who are we in that story? We often say, well, we are David and we're the giant slayers and God has told us to slay the giants. No. Jesus is David. He's the hero of the story. And we are the scared Israelites on the side, knowing that we need a savior, a deliverer from the Philistine. So in this story that we look at today, as we look at the story of David and Mephibosheth, we are not David. Now, yes, there's application that we should do good to others. We should show loving kindness, this chesed, which we're going to look at tonight. We should show those things to others because we are followers of Christ. But we are the needy Mephibosheth in this story. And David is a picture, a type of Jesus, the one who gives this loving kindness. So with that in mind, let us look at this story. And before we get there, I just want you to imagine just for a moment the sorrow, the panic, the fear that filled the house of Saul, the house of Jonathan. News had spread quickly throughout the country, throughout the land. In chapter 1, King Saul has been killed, and Jonathan, his son, the prince, the heir to the throne, he has been killed as well. And David is now the new king. And chapters 2 through 6 tell about David's uniting, his gathering together Israel and Judah and his defeat of the nations that are around him. He is the new king. Not only have the heads of the royal family been killed, but this new king is in town and he has come to rule. And with a new king, well, that usually meant that there was going to be more death. Because in those days, when a new king came to power, it was customary that they would kill all of the family of the other king, the previous king, so that there would be no future claim, no opposition to that new king's right to be king. That was the customary practice. They would eliminate any future threat to the throne. And so in the middle of this story where the king of Israel, Saul, has been killed and Jonathan and David has united Israel and Judah, in the middle of that story where David is solidifying this kingdom that has been given to him, we come to 2 Samuel chapter 9 where we're going to read. So let's read together. I'm reading out of the NIV tonight. David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness?" This is chesed, loving kindness. Some translate it goodness or love. "For Jonathan's sake. Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' 'At your service,' he replied. The king asked, 'Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness, chesed?' Ziba answered the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet.' 'Where is he?' the king asked. Ziba answered, 'He is at the house of Machir, son of Amalel, in Lo Debar.' So David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness, chesed, for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. This is the word of God. Loving kindness, chesed, is at the very center of this story. It, as we saw, was repeated three times in just this short narrative. And tonight, we're going to look at three things about this. We're going to look at how the loving kindness, this chesed, is extended. We're going to look at how it is embraced and how it is expanded. So first, let's look at how chesed, loving kindness, go ahead with the slide, I think. One more, sorry. How this loving kindness is extended. David had just defeated all of his enemies, all of those that sought his life. He could now live in peace. His throne was established. His kingdom was secure. Saul was no longer chasing him. The Philistines, the Moabites, the Syrians, all of them had been defeated. He was at peace. Now, we are not told where this story takes place, but I imagine it was probably in the throne room where David was sitting. And at a time when David was being able to not think about war and battle, but to remember, to stop and to think back. And in thinking back, I think he began to think about Jonathan. And this king, this great king David, asked the question in verse 3. He asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" God's chesed, his loving kindness. Now, we must look, before we get into this story, at this word for just a moment, this word chesed, because this Hebrew word is found throughout this text. We need to look at it for just a moment. Now, this word is a difficult word to translate. There's not an exact English equivalent for this word because it doesn't stand for just one word in the English language. It actually stands for a cluster of ideas. So if you can imagine a grape, a cluster of grapes, and you take one of the grapes off, and one of those is love, and one of those is mercy, and one of those is grace, and one of those is kindness, and favor, and loving kindness, and covenantal love, and merciful kindness, and loyalty. That is the word chesed. All of those things packed in together. In the Old Testament, it is almost always used in the context of some sort of covenant, some sort of agreement that has been made, but a covenant that has been made which is undeserved, unmerited. So attempts to define this word have filled dissertations and scholarly works. Entire books have been written on just this one word. So we're not going to talk that much about it other than to have the understanding, a basic understanding, that this means a loving kindness, a covenantal love that is there without merit. It's an important Old Testament word. It appears some 241 times in the Old Testament. So when we read this word in our English version, loving kindness or mercy or grace, I want us to remember that this is a cluster of ideas. Again, love, mercy, grace, kindness, favor, merciful kindness, loyalty, covenant. So let us then, with that understanding, with the basic definition of chesed, let us look at how this chesed is extended. We see first, go ahead, that there's this reason that it is extended, and we find that it's extended in this passage. It's offered because of another. In other words, on the merit of another person. Notice, David desires to show this covenant of this covenantal love, this kindness, for Jonathan's sake. It's not for the sake of someone themselves in the house of Saul. It is for Jonathan. Now, why did David desire to show this kind of chesed, this kindness to the house of Saul? We are told that in 1 Samuel chapter 18 that his relationship with Jonathan was something that was very special. It says that the soul of Jonathan and the soul of David were knit together, and that Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And that day, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. So there was this bond, this brotherly love that existed between these two men. But then there were also promises that were made. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, Jonathan says to David, but show me unfailing kindness. Again, there's that same word, chesed, like the Lord's kindness, chesed, as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. David, would you please always show me and my family the chesed? And to Saul, the one that chased him and persecuted him, in 1 Samuel chapter 24, he says, David, Saul is saying to David, I know that you will surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family. So David gave his oath. We see that David's kindness is being extended to someone in the house of Saul because of the merit of another person, because of someone else. And this, we will see, is the foundation for the chesed, this kindness that we see in this text. Now, just as David extends this loving kindness to the family of Saul, God too has extended loving kindness to the family of Adam. We do not deserve the loving kindness of God. We do not deserve his mercy. We do not deserve his grace, his love. In reality, we deserve the complete opposite. We deserve God's judgment, his wrath, his condemnation, his anger. Romans chapter 6, 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18, 4 says, the one who sins is the one who will die. Yet God extends loving kindness, chesed, to us on the merit of another, because of the merit, because of the work of someone else. He reaches out to us, this disobedient people, those who have rejected him time and time again, who will continue to reject him. He reaches out to us for his namesake, because of who he himself is. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22, says, for the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. His name is why we experience chesed. Psalm 106:8 says, yet he saved you for his name's sake to make his mighty power known. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, John wrote, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on the account of his name. So we have no merit, we have no right, we have no grounds to demand chesed, mercy, grace, loving kindness from God. But he gives this to us because of his name's sake, because of the Lord Jesus. But we also see that chesed, this loving kindness, is extended to anyone. Again, notice in the text that David's heart, as it has been moved to show grace, his desire is that he is looking for anyone, the text says, from the house of Saul. Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul, he asks. In this, David was not looking for someone with certain credentials. He wasn't looking for someone. Is there anyone of valor? Is there a man of valor left in the house of Saul? Is there a man of honor? Is there a man of position in the house of Saul? He says, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul? And this, again, is true of God's kindness, his chesed toward us. God extends this chesed to all people of all ethnicities, people from every walk of life, from any religious background, from any economic position, no matter the past or the present situation, no matter what they have done or what they have not done. God says, my salvation, my chesed is for all people. In fact, God does not extend grace to the righteous person, but only to the sinner. Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And he said in Luke, he said, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So the only qualification that we see in the text of the scriptures that we need to qualify for God's chesed is to recognize that we are sick, that we are lost, that we are sinners, that we are indeed needful of God's loving kindness toward us, his goodness, his mercy, his grace. So I wonder, have you experienced the chesed, the kindness, the loving kindness of God? You can. Jesus, just as David, upon hearing that there was one that was still alive from the house of Saul, called and brought him to himself, God calls us to himself. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, he says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. God sees us exactly as we are, where we are, who we are, with our past sin, our present sin, and our future sin. And he says, you can have my chesed by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Christ. So, we have seen how God's chesed has been extended. But now let us look at how it should be embraced. Go ahead and one more, please. Having been brought into the presence of the king, Mephibosheth is there. We are told in the scriptures that he fell on his face and he paid homage. He prostrated himself before David. Now, Put yourselves in Mephibosheth's shoes for just a moment. Your father has been killed in battle. Jonathan, or your grandfather has been killed in battle. All of your relatives have been killed. You were heir to the throne, but that throne no longer belongs to you. It belongs to this man who has now summoned you to come before him. And you have been made crippled because as you fled from the king that you now stand before as a small child, you were dropped. You're standing there before him. You have lived in fear that maybe one day the soldiers would come to your house to remove the threat of the throne. How would you respond if you were summoned before this one who took your throne, your rightful possession? Would you respond in anger? Maybe in hostility and bitterness? Would you say, David, this is your fault. I am crippled and I have nothing because of you. You did this. I don't know how I would have responded. But we know how Mephibosheth responds. He bows down and he pays honor to this king. And then he hears David say these words in verse 7. He says, "Do not be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." You think Mephibosheth expected to hear those words? I dare to think he did not. Wow. Can you imagine hearing those words? What would it have caused in our hearts? What kind of feelings would have stirred? But notice how Mephibosheth listens to and responds to King David's kindness toward him. He doesn't get up and say, "Oh, gee, thanks. It's about time." He says in verse 8, he paid homage. He bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you would show regard for a dead dog like me, such as I?" So we see that Mephibosheth was able to embrace this chesed because he had a heart of humility. He was humble in heart. He could have responded in hatred, in hostility, in bitterness for his condition in life, but he doesn't. He responds in humility. "What am I to you, David? Who am I to you? I am a dead dog. I have nothing to offer you. There is nothing that you will gain from me, David. I have nothing. I am humbly bowing before you." And go ahead, we see that he also responded with this honest heart. He said, "What am I to you? I am just a dead dog. I am nothing." He didn't think more highly of himself. He didn't say to himself, "I should be king." He knows he should not be king because we know that the Bible says that David was the anointed king. Saul proclaimed this. He said, "I know that you will be the king." So he's honest with himself. "Who am I that you would take notice of me?" he says. "Why would you do such a thing? What am I to you?" Why would David show such kindness, such grace, such loving mercy to this? I think quite possibly that it's because when he was sitting there and Mephibosheth came into his presence, David did not see a crippled man. Instead, he saw Jonathan, his beloved friend. And in seeing Jonathan, his heart was moved with compassion to say, "All that I would have given Jonathan if he were here today, I give to you, Mephibosheth. I don't know you. I don't know anything about your life, what kind of person you are, but I know Jonathan and I loved Jonathan. And so everything that I want to give, I give to you because of him." This is the same thing that happens with us when we encounter the loving kindness of God, when we encounter the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, when we hear the words, "Your sin has been forgiven. You are now my son, my daughter. You are heir to my kingdom. I am preparing a place for you to be with me. You are invited to my table to eat." You see, through God's loving kindness, the righteousness of Christ, his position has been imputed to us, given to us, so that now when we enter into the presence of God, he sees us clothed with the righteousness of Christ. He has given that to us. Who am I that I would stand before God? I am a dead dog. But because of Christ, for the sake of Christ, the righteousness of Christ has been given to us when we put our faith in him. Yet apart from the work of the Lord Jesus, we are condemned. But because of the Lord Jesus, grace and mercy is forgiven to us when we humbly accept it with an honest, a broken and contrite heart. We will hear the word spoken in Romans 8. Chapter verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. So that when God looks at us, those who have by faith accepted the righteousness of Christ, he does not see us as we are, dead in our sins and trespasses. He sees us alive in Christ, as a son, as a daughter who has been adopted into his kingdom. So we have seen how this loving kindness has been extended and how it is embraced. But let's see what this text says about how it is expanded. We see, go ahead to the next one. We see that in verses 9 through 13, that the kindness of David expands beyond Mephibosheth into the family of Ziba. To Ziba and his family and the servants. It says that Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. It must have been difficult for Ziba, who had once served in the court of the king, to flee with his family and with his servants to the land of Lo-Debar, the land of no pasture, the place of hopelessness, of despair, and then to provide for these so many people. And not just that, but he also had to care for this young crippled child and see him grow into this man who was still crippled, this Mephibosheth. And David's kindness here provides land and crops and wealth enough for Ziba to take care of his family and all the servants that were with him. David's kindness was given to Mephibosheth, but it was expanded to Ziba and his sons and the servants, and even one step further to Micah, the son of Mephibosheth. In this, they all were given a future. Oh, sorry, I should have done that one already. A future. God's loving kindness, his grace, is expanded to us to provide for us a future as well. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, "Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God, through his chesed, his loving kindness, has provided for us through Jesus Christ a future, a certain future that is good. But it also provides for us, the next thing, a family. Notice in this text that having been brought into the house of David, that Mephibosheth, he has a son named Micah. And it says that Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's son. Mephibosheth, though he was a son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was now sitting at the table, adopted as a son of David. This doesn't happen. He should have been the enemy, but he's sitting at the table as a son with the sons. This is what happens to us when we experience the kindness, the loving kindness of God through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We too find that in Romans 8 it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. God's chesed has provided for us a family. Though we may be from different backgrounds, from different biological families, from different nations, we may speak different languages, there is a family of God that we belong to. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. As Mephibosheth sat at that table, David was saying to him, I will be a father to you. And those of us who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, says to us, I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and my daughters. So he provides a future, he provides a family, but we also see that he provides fulfillment for us. In verse 13, it says, so Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, no longer in Lo Debar, in the land of no pasture. He lived in Jerusalem, the city of promise, this great place. And David brought him into the family. Chesed brought Mephibosheth out of death, out of hopelessness, out of despair, and brought him into life and gave him a new family as a son in the house of David, where he would live the rest of his life with the king. Can you imagine the scene that was there? It says that he ate always, in verse 13, he ate always at the king's table. There at the table would have been King David sitting there. And Absalom, the perfect, strong, handsome son of David, the image of the king himself, and Solomon in all of his wisdom, and David's other sons, and the family, the wives, the daughters, Joab, David's strong, reliable general, all there at the table. And there was Mephibosheth, who ate at the king's table always, not sometimes, but always. The family gathered, and crippled Mephibosheth was there with them, part of the family, having all the rights, all the privileges that everyone else did, seated at the table with the king. Revelation 19 tells us that one day there is going to be a great banquet that occurs when all the children of God will be gathered together with him. and we will sit at the table of the King. What a glorious day that will be. That gives us fulfillment in this life, knowing that there is a future fulfillment that awaits all of those who are trusting in the promises of God. And I love how verse 13 ends. It's interesting. It's odd. He was lame in both feet. Mephibosheth, though he was there, experiencing the chesed of David, the chesed of God, he was still crippled. He still was lame in both feet. He sat at the king's table as one that was brought from the outside into the family of the king. And yet he was lame in both feet. The same is true for us. Even though we have been saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we have, by the Lord Jesus Christ, experienced the chesed of God, we are still crippled by the effects of sin in this life. We are still less than perfect. We will still fail. We still sin. We still reject our God sometimes. And yet, even though I fail Him, and even though I often prove to my brothers and sisters and to God that I am still in a crippled spiritual condition, in that I still sin, I, by God's grace, and you, by God's grace, are a child of the King, a son, a daughter, sitting at the table of a king. This, my friends, is chesed. This is the loving kindness of God. One day, that will change, the crippledness of sin that we experience. It will change. It will be done away with. We will be given a resurrected body, a body that will no longer be affected by sin. Hallelujah. I cannot wait for that day. The crippling effect of sin will one day be done away with completely forever. What a beautiful story of God's loving kindness. Don't we thank Him for it? We don't deserve it. There's no merit in us for it. But His loving kindness has extended to us, has been extended to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So what about you? Where do you stand? Or in the picture of this story, where do you sit? Are you at the table of the King? Have you accepted the chesed, the loving kindness of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Have you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Did you know that God's grace, His chesed, has been extended to you? Have you embraced God's chesed toward you in humility and honesty? Have you experienced God's expanding chesed through you as you live out the gospel so that it impacts your family and your friends and your coworkers and those that are in the shops, those that you come in contact with? If not, then I want you to know that the King of Kings is calling you. He is saying, come. He knows your condition. He knows all about you. Yet He still has a place for you at His table just as you are. And if you come to Him, what you will find is that you will exchange your old life for a new one. You will find that you who were once a slave to sin, you are now a son, a daughter, free in Christ. You will find that once as your destiny was death and destruction, now it is eternal life. You will find that once when you had no hope, now you have eternal hope and eternal peace. I hope everyone in this room has experienced God's chesed, his loving kindness. But if you have not, then I want you to know that it is readily and freely available to you. And if you want to know more about how to receive it, then please come talk to me or someone else afterwards. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have received your chesed, your loving kindness to us. And as such, Lord, we have been adopted as your children. Lord, thank you that you have set us free from sin, from the slavery of sin, that you have given us a new life and a future and a hope. Father, we thank you that you have poured out upon us grace and love and mercy and forgiveness, all the things that we do not deserve, all the things that we can never merit or work for or earn. Yet you have freely given them to us because of your namesake. Thank you for your kindness to us, God. Lord, we would ask that as we live this life that you have given us, as we sit at your table as one of your children, that you would help us to live as children of the King, that your character would be demonstrated through our lives by how we live, by the things that we do, by the things that we don't do, by the things that our hearts and our minds are set upon, by the motives that are in our hearts, that we indeed would live like the Lord Jesus Christ, that his mind would be in us. Father, we thank you for the fact that one day you will come and bring us to yourself, and you will complete the work that you have started in us. Until that day comes, Father, help us to be faithful with that which you have given to us. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name.